Hello and welcome to episode 24 of our Eurochat series. My name is Ken Sweeney and from Paris I am joined by my Europa United colleague Francis Cowell. Hi Francis, how are you?
I'm very well, thank you Ken. And you?
We're good. We're bothering ourselves with the rain and stormy weather over here in Ireland, but we're good. Yeah, so we're going to do a very special episode. We're discussing the current political crisis that is happening in Belarus, and helping us find out why the situation has arisen is communication specialist Vlad Kolavsky and journalist Victoria Kavalchuk. Belarus, the former Soviet bloc state, has been described in the past as the last European dictatorship. Despite so-called free elections since its independence from the former USSR in 1991, the current administration under the leadership of President Alexander Lukashenko has continued to top every election poll. However, following on from the most recent election, which yet again saw Lukashenko win by a considerable margin, mass demonstrations have begun across the state and continue to gain momentum. We are going to take a look now at how the current crisis has arisen and try to see how it's all going to play out. Vlad, Vika, welcome to Eurochat and thanks for joining us.
Hello everyone, thank you for having us.
Vika, I'm going to start with you. Could you give our listeners a little background on the political status of Belarus prior to the recent outbreak of political demonstrations? And who is Alexander Lukashenko?
Hello, guys. Thanks for invitation. Sure, I would start with this political status of Belarus. And I would say a couple of words about our situation before these elections. First of all, I would say that Alexander Lukashenko is a president of Belarus for the last 26 years. And of course, before these elections, there was no surprise that he's gonna be a winner of the elections. And probably, I would say that because of the situation which we have with our elections, nobody really expected that these elections can become honest because of this political situation we have here. But in spite of the fact I said, I would say that these elections are a bit not so similar to the previous ones. First of all, because at this time we had really strong opponents of Lukashenko, and some of them were put into prison before the elections. Others were not registered as the candidates of for these elections. So the situation was really strange because we understood that this tension we have in the society grows. And then when we got the time for elections, we saw that nothing has changed. We saw this 80% of Alexander Lukashenko as the candidate. And then, of course, we see these tensions and we see this protest on the streets because finally people understood that it's almost 26 years. Nothing has changed in the country, in the politics, in the economy, in some social spheres, and people, I think, decide that it's time to see and to express their voice.
Mm-hmm. And Vlad, can I ask you, why do you think that there's been such a backlash against the result this time round? Because the result is constantly happening the same. Every single time there's an election, he comes out on top. Now, we know what's the story there. Let's not make it call a spade a spade. But at the end of the day, I'm curious as to why this time it has happened that people have said enough is enough.
Yeah, I think that economic background is also very important in this case, because the last decade was not the greatest. I would say it was a disaster for Belarus because Belarus underwent a couple of recessions and economic turndowns. There was inflation, and also I think what added up was this infamous parasite tax introduced a few years ago, when basically unemployed people were made to pay for being unemployed, and it also caused a lot of outrage and outcry in the society, and protests were happening across the country. And just before that, in the past, Belarus demonstrated really striking reduction of poverty and improving living standards of the citizens, but that was happening mostly not because of any, you know, really good and thoughtful economic policies, but mostly due to fast economic growth in Russia and cheap oil prices for Russian oil, and Belarus were able to grow its own economy on that. But when then, you know, the world crisis happened and things in Russia got not so bad, Belarus also went into recession, and like people became less satisfied with living standards, and this economic, this discontent about because of the economic situation has been building up. And this year, several other causes added up, such as the coronavirus, because the government demonstrated, the government did almost nothing to track the crisis, the coronavirus crisis. There was no any, you know, measures introduced. There was nothing. And people basically had to deal with the crisis on their own. They, you know, they organized some volunteering campaigns and volunteering initiatives, and they basically were crowdfunding money to buy protection equipment for doctors. And, you know, people just realize if we have the government that does not do anything and we are able to mobilize by ourselves better than the government, that what's the point of having such a government, you know? And I think this is a very important cause. And I think what was different that this time, that I can admit that in the past, Lukashenko still enjoyed some wide public support in 2010 and probably in 2015. But this time, like this critical mass of people who were angry at the government and at Lukashenko, and who did not like the course that the country is taking, it's in its development, was so big that, you know, 80% of the vote that Lukashenko got just made everyone angry, because his public support was really negligible this time, I would say. Yeah, and I also think that, you know, when people saw this exit poll results that he got 80% of the vote, this just made people really angry, because he stole their votes so boldly and so explicitly that, you know, people took to the street just to demand a fair count of the vote. And what was also different this time is that some polling station, I think 100, slightly over the 100, they counted the votes fairly. And what we saw was that in all these polling stations, Tikhanovskaya won. And not only in Minsk, but in, you know, small towns, he also won with a large margin. And, you know, these few polling stations that counted the vote fairly, they help people understand that, you know, that Lukashenko could not possibly get, you know, 80% of the vote.
And Vlad, Vika mentioned earlier people who are opposing Lukashenko. Tell us a bit about who the opposition is and who's leading it now.
So-called traditional opposition in Belarus did not really enjoy wide public support, because I think at the core of their program was always the issue of language and cultural identity or national identity, which is important. But, you know, for most of the people in the country, when they on everyday basis, they're facing some economic and social issues, you know, the issue of national language is not the most pertinent issue. And that's why, you know, their programs of traditional opposition was not really relevant to the needs of most of the people in the country.
But this time the opposition's different, isn't it?
It's not traditional opposition. This time it was people from, I mean, completely different people. You know, Sergei Tikhanovsky was a YouTube blogger who was traveling all across the country and talking to just general public in towns across the country and giving them, you know, a way to express their discontent. And Viktor Babaryk is a very prominent businessman, and he was head of Belgazprom Bank. But he was not just a businessman, he was also very actively supporting Belarus culture, and he organized a gallery which displayed very prominent Belarusian artists, and he was supporting different cultural initiatives really actively. And Valery Tsipkala, he used to be Belarus ambassador to the United States in, I think, early 2000s. And then he was the head and founder of Belarus IT Park, which Belarus is really famous for its IT sector. And he basically was the founder of this IT park in Belarus. So that these are people who have never been associated with opposition ever before. And I think they just put at the core of their programs really pertinent issues for the country, like, you know, different economic and political issues. They just openly stated that Belarus is moving in the wrong direction, and we need to undertake reforms, and we need to change a lot in the country to have a chance for a better life for the people.
And Vika Svetlana Tikhanovskaya, now she's become a world celebrity now, all of a sudden, but she wasn't the original opponent. I think she's picking up the baton from her husband, which is interesting in itself, but we also seem to be seeing a lot more prominence of women taking prominent roles in this. Is there a reason women are more active this time around?
Well, I would say that this women's movement, let's call it like this, it's very interesting phenomenon, because I would start with some behavior of Mr. Lukashenko. He often says that women are very weak and Belarusian constitution is not for women because it's too hard to ruin the government, ruin the country, and so on and so forth. So he likes to underline women's weakness. And then we see that his main opponent at these elections becomes a woman who tries to play a completely different game comparing to Lukashenko. On the contrary of his cruel, angry manner, she shows very peaceful, caring, and loving company. She shows that it's important and possible to fight with some peaceful methods. And I think that it's really something which works with people, because people are tired of this tension. People are tired of some press we have for so many years. And then we see Svetlana Tikhanovskaya, which shows that she's a very simple woman. She is a wife and a mother, and she even repeats for several times that I'm here just for holding fair elections, and then I'm ready, and I really want to go back to my kitchen and to fry the meatballs. So there is nothing about political ambitions, but it's just something about justice. And if to speak about these women demonstrations and actions, peaceful actions we see on the streets, it's also important that it works on the contrast with some cruel, angry tensions and some cruel arrests by the special forces. We see how awful it looks, and then we see these peaceful actions by women who translate their love, who translate their respect, total peaceful manners. And I think that, again, people who are tired of some tension, who are tired of this injustice, they are open for these peaceful methods, and that's why women play so important role at this present political situation.
Yeah, I would also add that, you know, Tikhanovskaya, she's not really a political leader, she's more of a symbol, because she is, you know, she was not going to be a president. She just wanted people voting for her, like people who were voting for her, they were voting for a change. You know, she explicitly emphasized all the time that she does not have, as Vika said, does not have any political ambition. She will hold another fair election within a 6 month time frame. And yeah, people, you know, the traditional rhetoric of those who support Lukashenko is that there is no alternative to Lukashenko in the country. But people now, they're saying that, you know, I will vote for anyone besides Lukashenko. They just want a change. And for people see that, you know, the first step is to get rid of Lukashenko, and then they will find someone to rule the country.
Vika, Lukashenko has stated that he is in discussion with Russian President Vladimir Putin, obviously about what's happening in Belarus. Now, relations between Belarus and Russia have been somewhat frosty in the past. So how much can we read into that statement? And could Lukashenko be simply calling the opposition's bluff?
I wouldn't say that it's kind of bluff. And I think that for Lukashenko and for Vladimir Putin, it's kind of important and useful for both sides to be in connection and to be to work as a one team. Because if to speak about Russia, I guess that this country and especially Vladimir Putin is interested in saving Belarus as an economic partner and saving Belarus, and especially Lukashenko is the leader of this country. Because we have pretty similar situations if to speak about this political form, and Putin reigns country for more than 20 years. Lukashenko is a president for 26 years. So these models are very similar. And of course, if this kind of peaceful protest or any protest work in Belarus, it can be a bad example for Putin's country. It can be a good example at the same time for Russians. So I guess that in this, from this side, it's good for Putin to support Lukashenko and to give him some trust. He doesn't interfere for this time, and the Kremlin says that there is no reason for now to give some support to the government or to interfere to this independent state, to Belarus. But at the same time, Russia demonstrates that Putin and Lukashenko are in this contact almost every day. They have some calls, they have some discussions, and I think that for Russia, it's also important to save us as a partner, because in case we see some sanctions from European Union, then Russian market becomes the only for Belarus. And of course, Russia can give some ideas how to work with Belarus, and we can't discuss it. We should just take it as it is.
And Vlad, I'm curious to know, we just mentioned the EU there with sanctions. I'm curious to know what you think of the EU's reaction so far. Do you think that it's been appropriate, or should they be doing more?
Yeah, I think that the EU's reaction was pretty rapid and appropriate. And I'm glad to see that these are individual sanctions, like, you know, targeted at individuals who are blamed for suppressing the peaceful protest, people in Lukashenko's administration, and those who are blamed for torturing peaceful protesters. But I mean, it's also important to understand how that Lukashenko, throughout all this campaign, Lukashenko was blaming someone for interfering in Belarus election. At first, it was Russia. All the way before the election, it was Russia. He was blaming Russia for trying to interfere in Belarus election, and for trying to organizing a revolution in Belarus before the election. Like 33 soldiers of kind of Russian private army were arrested in Belarus, but then right after the election, Lukashenko completely changed his rhetoric, and now he's blaming the West. At first, it was Poland, Lithuania, and Czech Republic, and now it's the United States who wants to carry out, revolution in Belarus. And I think that, now he's trying to portray the EU and the United States as Belarus enemies. And I think that there is not much EU can do in this case, because, you know, they impose sanctions, but Lukashenko does not care about individual sanctions, and, you know, he will be barred from visiting EU, but he has already been banned from EU for so many years, and I don't think that sanctions can do anything and can make him change his mind. And I don't believe like how Lukashenko is trying to persuade people that the EU is deploying military army troops along the Belarus border, trying to organize some kind of, you know, intervention. I don't believe this at all. Like, I think EU will be the last, you know, the last country or the last union to attack Belarus. And yeah, I mean, I don't think that sanctions will work. I just don't know, like, you know, but I'm not an expert in foreign policy. I don't know what are other ways to influence Lukashenko right now.
It's interesting you mentioned the question of EU military intervention, which I think most people agree is probably unlikely. But that said, Vika, Belarus's neighbours must be watching this very, very closely. And there must be a lot of, worry, anxiety, that a similar situation could happen, like we've seen in Ukraine, where you have division and deadlock and a proxy war going on between the East and the West. Do you think that's likely or possible in Belarus?
I wouldn't compare these conflicts, I mean, Ukrainian and Belarusian, because even if we look at the triggers when Ukrainian conflict starts and when Belarusian starts, we see that the trigger is very different. Because in Ukraine, it was connected with the choice of their future way. I mean, this integration with European Union, and when this former president Yanukovych decided to change the way people voted against it, and they standed for their rights and for their right to choose. Here we see that in Belarus, people fight at first for this fair elections and for their liberty. And if to speak about this division of the views inside the country, again, I think that we have different situations, because Ukraine is much bigger, and in this cultural point of view and some historical aspects, it was noticed for many years that East and West of Ukraine are a bit different. I mean, they used different languages. In the East of Ukraine, it was mostly Russian. In the West, it was Ukrainian. Then different churches and different religious directions. Here in Belarus, the country is not so big, it's not so different. So I think that for now, we do not have this division, but I would say that propaganda and our state television tries to underline these differences, tries to show now that, look, we have different groups of people. Some of them are for peace, for the best future, and therefore Lukashenko. And then there is some guys who go to these protests and who want to make this unstable situation. So it works like propaganda, but if to see this real picture, the real situation in the country, I would say that the country is still quite united, and I wouldn't predict that it can be Ukrainian scenery.
I would like also to add that now the country, like the government, is trying to destabilize the country, to draw this distinction between these two groups of people. One, like those who support the opposition, and those who support Lukashenko. And now, like, maybe you've heard that a lot of people from state-owned television, they stepped down because, you know, they didn't want to lie about what's going on in the country. And Lukashenko admitted that he invited Russian journalists to, you know, to fill in their shoe. And now a lot of Russian journalists, you know, from Russian state television, they work in Belarus on Belarus TV channels, and now they're producing this, you know, outright propaganda, showing pictures and videos from Ukraine, from Egypt, from other, you know, conflicts, and trying to show that this is what people who are protesting trying to achieve in the country. And I think now, with the help of Russian, I don't know, PR companies or some other like political forces, Belarusian government is trying to destabilize the situation within the country.
It sounds like your position is very, very strong. This is the question to both of you. Is there a real possibility that Lukashenko will go?
There is. Like, you know, last Sunday, there was the biggest protest in Belarus history, which convened at least 200,000 people. And after that, there was, you know, people became a little bit disappointed because usually, like, we saw that the biggest state-owned enterprises, workers of the biggest state-owned enterprises went on strikes. And then it's this like striking movement became more and more silent this week. But, and you know, people are becoming a bit disappointed about that. But I think that it's really difficult to predict what will happen next because, you know, if we look back and even 2 weeks ago, I couldn't even imagine that so many people will took to the streets, and even though they will face so much violence and brutality from the police, they continue taking to the streets to demand, you know, fair election. And 4 months ago, we couldn't even imagine that there will be a real challenger for Lukashenko. And then, you know, we saw that a housewife became the main opposition leader. Like, I would say that this election has been so unpredictable that it's really difficult to say what will happen next.
Vika, I just wanted your opinion on that. I mean, you're currently there, so do you see that in the same way?
On the one hand, I think that it's a very important time for Belarus now because I would say that Belarus as a nation was born within these last days. And I think that it's a very important step for our consciousness, for our mentality. And I'm sure that Belarusian people would never be the same. And now we understand that we are united, we are together, and we can fight for our rules, and we can win in some way. But on the other hand, I wouldn't be so optimistic because for now I see that army, special forces, and police are still on the side of Lukashenko. And methods that people use, I mean, these peaceful people, peaceful protests use, and then the methods which our army and police use are very different and they are not equal. So in the case, if the government, if Lukashenko continue to make these repressions, continue to arrest people, then we can see very negative way of developing this situation. So I think that even if people try to gain the aim of changing the political situation, and if people are lucky enough with organizing new elections, the process will be very long and it wouldn't happen tomorrow or next week.
My thanks to the guys. It's been great. I mean, we've got a really good insight into what's going on, and obviously we'll be keeping a close eye on everything that's happening. We had a conversation before we went on the podcast and we spoke about the fact that the Western media seems to be covering it. I mean, it's it's going to probably get the same amount of coverage that it's been getting, but hopefully we'll have a really good outcome. Thank you to Vlad Kovaleski and Victoria Kavalchuk. We have just been looking at episode 24 of our Eurochat series. And of course, thank you to my co-host, Francis Kell. Francis, thanks for joining me tonight. Now, you can find out more about Europa United by joining us at Europa United EU or following us on Facebook and Twitter at europaunited.eu. That has been episode 24. Take care, guys. Goodbye.